What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Counter Culture Podcast. I like this setup right now. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
I like it too.
We got a nice, you guys can't see this, but we got a nice little studio light in the background. We have the light bars behind us, and it's dark outside. It's nighttime. We had such a busy day today, though. We had to wait for the kids to go to sleep before we could even record anything. So we recorded a vlog.
It was a very busy day.
But like stupid busy.
Yeah.
Not like actual busy stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We went out and we had to, we went to the gym this morning and then we had to go get jeans.
Yeah, we came home for a little bit, made some food, and then we had to go to the mall, and it was horrible.
Dude, the mall. If you people watching this or listening have not been to the mall in a minute, dude, it's the worst experience on
Don't
earth.
Go on a Saturday.
I dreaded every single second of being at the freaking mall today.
It was terrible. It was so hot.
Terrible. Yeah, why was it so hot?
I don't know. It was literally a trillion people there.
It was like 95 degrees in the freaking mall.
So
sweating,
hot.
Took my hoodie off, and then we walk outside. It's freaking 37.
Yeah, it's for. Oops.
Is that your yoga mat?
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I think it's your yoga mat. Yeah, it was like 37 degrees out when we walked outside. Freaking nuts.
Yeah, it's very chilly this weekend.
Yeah. Did you have a good day?
Yes.
Yeah. Why you say it like that?
I'm just really tired, and you're right, it was just like stupid busy. It was nothing
like of importance, no like yeah. work related stuff. No. But my mom got a new bed. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It goes up, down, side, it vibrates. No weird comments or anything about that, please. in the comment section. But yeah, it vibrates and stuff, and it's just, it's like a crazy. What, did you smell that?
No, why?
I don't know. Okay. It vibrates and stuff. And then so she gave her old bed to my son.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool bed.
So we moved her bed, put the new bed together, and then moved her old bed to our house and set it up all at like 6:10 p.m.
Yeah.
Before eating dinner.
And it's now like almost 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
This is the life of...
And I have to work for 3 days at the hospital, so...
Yeah, this is the life of a parent and the life of an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And so today I wanted to talk about... check these slippers out, too, by the way. These are what I call the communal slippers in the house.
They're not communal.
They're Heather's slippers. But I don't have any slippers, so... They're up. They're walking around. What do you think that was?
Them.
What do you think they're doing?
I don't know. God only knows.
God only knows. But these are the communal slippers. That's what I call them. I don't have any slippers, so I oftentimes have to ask Heather to use these. Or I just tell her to give them to me.
Okay. No one wants to know about our...
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to use this episode because we don't really want to be on here for that long right now, to be honest. It's time to go to sleep after the day that we had and what time it is. And I still haven't showered, but I want to talk about lessons from entrepreneurship because I just got out of my first ever brick and mortar business. So I think it's a good opportunity to kind of talk over entrepreneurship, the expectations versus reality, and what you can expect if you actually go into entrepreneurship. I feel like so often now entrepreneurship is glamorized all over social media. Like everybody needs to be their own boss. Everybody needs to be rags to riches type. And you know, the more that I think about it, the less I think people should be entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because I genuinely don't think that most people have the heart to be an entrepreneur. It's freaking tough, man.
It is tough.
It's tough. And if you don't have, like, everybody thinks that they have tough skin and can handle no's and can handle failure and stuff until you actually have to go through it. Like, I've been an entrepreneur for about 7 years. I've worked for myself, but my first ever brick and mortar was the past 2 years. So I had a gym, and it was way different than just being your average entrepreneur.
You also added people to it, which is lesson number one.
But I think that most people would go into business, like a brick and mortar business, with business partners.
I mean, some people don't.
Yeah, some people don't. Most people do. Most small businesses are not a single person.
Yeah, I guess. But this is lesson number one.
Don't have business partners.
Don't have business partners.
I don't think that that's true.
I feel like I hear just more bad stories than not.
I think choose your business partners wisely. So, like, really vet them out. And one of my business partners, I should have known, just was not going to be a good fit because
he doesn't have it in him.
He doesn't have it in him. Nice enough dude. We were best friends for a very long time. Nice enough dude. I just should have known that he didn't have it in him because I've known him for so long. But something about me, because I want to do things with my friends and people that I love, was just like, yeah, this is a good fit, without really taking a look at what the habits of this person was or were and how they maneuver through life in general, right? Being an entrepreneur, you kind of have to be, I don't want to say cutthroat, but you have to be willing to have difficult conversations. You have to be willing to, like, nut up or shut up. You have, like, there's so many, like, things that you have to be willing to do if you want, like, it to succeed with other people. And throughout entirety of knowing this guy, he just never really had that.
Yeah.
So that was mistake number one. And then the second guy, I just didn't vet, like, almost at all.
No, you didn't.
Almost at all. That was a big mistake.
Learned lots of lessons.
Yeah, from the outside, though, looking from the outside, though, he plays the part.
On the surface.
Right. On the surface, he plays the part, but then when you do some digging,
it's a lot of not good stuff that comes with it.
A lot of not good stuff. And that's not just from my experience, because now that I had that experience, a lot of people have come out and told me about their experience with said person.
Again, nice enough guy, really liked him as a person.
Yeah.
I think both of us, but not for business.
And this is not to say either that I'm without flaws too, because I'm definitely not without flaws. I don't think that I am meant to have a brick and mortar type of business. I don't think that I possess the management skills for that, at least not yet. I think that if I had, like, some sort of, like, storefront of some sort, like a recovery business where, like, people just come in, plunge, sauna, and get the heck out, that I could, like, handle something like that. But, like, no, I'm just not the brick and mortar type person, I don't think.
No,
I think I would do better, like, selling things, you know, or, I mean, obviously what we're doing now.
Yeah. I agree.
But yeah, so I guess the second thing would be always stick to your talents, like, stick to what you're good at, know what you're good at, stick to it, thrive in that area first. And then when you've done all you can do in that area, that's when you can try branching out. But the biggest mistake that I made in that department was I didn't try things as I was already established, because I had an established personal training business for a long time, athletic development business for a long time. I don't know how else I would have tried this thing without actually opening it. But my skill is developing relationships. My skill is actually getting results for people in the gym. My skill is speaking. My skill is content, media stuff. So I should have tried to figure out an avenue that I could have put all that together in, instead of, like, opening a brick and mortar, because I never wanted to be a gym owner in the first place.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah.
So that's the big lesson.
Yeah. That's the big lesson.
They're all lessons.
They're all lessons.
All big lessons.
However, I think that there is, I think that there is room, not room. There is something to be said about, this is ripped.
Oh no.
However, I think that there is something to be said about needing to try things and see where they go and then not having it go all the way, right? Like you'll never know if you don't try. You'll never know certain things if you don't try, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. The only thing is, again, I think the only reason why, and I don't count, like the gym didn't fail, right? It was like, I decided to shut it down for other things. It became a big financial burden that yes. we didn't want to carry anymore. It's not like it failed. It was paying for itself. Mm-hmm. It was paying for itself, but it wasn't doing much past that after that. And so it was like, if we could have kept it open and we could have just bled money for the place, but it didn't make sense to do that. So
it wasn't just money. It was time.
Yeah.
Physically being there,
yeah,
because we're traveling so much, and then also it's like, okay, so physically being there when you can be there takes away from like being at home with yeah. the kids and stuff. So yeah, time for many reasons,
which is something that I don't want to sacrifice anymore with the kids. Yeah. I don't want to sacrifice time with the kids anymore. I'm willing to sacrifice some time with the kids, but not as much as I was before. I wouldn't get home until like 8 p.m. So like I sometimes wouldn't even see them.
Yeah.
Go to sleep. And that's not something that I'm willing to do anymore. I realize that life is really short mm-hmm. recently. Like
those
it's very short.
Growing up fast.
Yeah. And you don't, the days are old in which you had to be that entrepreneur at work from 5 a.m. until 9 p.m. because there are so many other avenues that you can go. Like media, this is the perfect avenue.
Yeah.
Because I can be home. I can do all my work at home. Online coaching, I can be home. I can do all my work at home. Stuff like that. But all that to say that I think that you do need to try things. And I don't want to completely discourage people from being entrepreneurs. But I think that the only reason why closing the gym hasn't really like discouraged me from doing other entrepreneurial type stuff is because I feel like I'm built for it. I don't mind the no's. I don't mind trying things and it doesn't work out the way that I want them to. But there's a lot of people, and this is like, there's more people like me, but there's also a lot of people that can't handle that.
Yeah.
They can't handle trying things and then it doesn't work. Or like if things go wrong, there's a lot of people that just aren't problem solvers and can't figure out how to delegate, you know, responsibilities or to like figure out, okay, how do I get fast money or how, you know, stuff like that. Like there's not a lot of problem solvers anymore. There's a lot of complainers that would just sit by the wayside and be like, well, it looks like I'm effed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. I do.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's not for the faint of heart.
It's not for the faint of heart. There's this guy, I have to say, on Facebook, who I'm friends with, that, man, sometimes I just want to tell him, why don't you just quit? Like, this life is just not for you. The hustling life is not for you. He posts so frequently, I'm so overwhelmed, or I don't know what to do about this situation. He owns a business, and he's constantly complaining. And I was just telling, you know, talking about this earlier. When you're a business owner, you're an entrepreneur, like you're a leader. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be a leader. And you have customers that probably follow your social medias, your pages, stuff like that. And if you have employees, and if you're the person that's complaining 24/7 on Facebook or Instagram about your business, what does that say about you? If I was that dude's employees, I would be freaking out about whether I was going to have a job tomorrow or not. If I was his customers, I would be freaking out wondering if the work was going to get done. Like, I mean, if you are that person that you're going to complain on social media about your business dealings and you don't know how you're going to get through the next couple days or the next couple weeks, or you're struggling with your business and stuff like that, this life is not for you. It is not for you.
I mean, I can't even believe that he would post that on the
I can't
the
believe
internet.
He's a real person.
It's so bizarre.
Like, go get a job. Go get a job. There's nothing wrong. This is one thing that also I think is like crazy is that social media would lead you to believe that there's something wrong with having a job and that you're supposed to hustle. You're supposed to have a side hustle. Everybody needs to get rich. Everybody needs to be an entrepreneur and grind, 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 grind. But there's nothing wrong with having a 9-to-5 job.
No.
In my life, there's something wrong with it, but there's nothing wrong with anybody else doing it. It's like you need to weigh out the pros and cons for you. And you need to know what you want in life and be realistic about what you really want in life.
Yeah. I or you could do both. Have a business and a 9-to-5.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're never going to get like stupid rich doing both.
And I feel like kidding. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. And yeah, I know. Don't want to.
And I've told you a million times what you need to do, but John won't let us.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. If you guys see me like fidgeting around a lot, I haven't.
Slap us.
Yeah. I told John that I was going to buy a Porsche today. And he said, don't buy a car or I'll drop you.
It was a joke.
It was a joke. He's our accountant. If you guys see me fidgeting around a lot, my neck is injured and I have some nerve pain. So it's kind of acting up right now.
Lovely.
I know.
What else about business?
Why don't you tell me what things have you learned?
Oh. My God. I haven't had any dramatic issues like you.
Yeah.
I have more issues like a couple logistical things and then like people issues, like dealing with people. That's more of my problem than it was like big lessons that you learned. Like, yeah. I don't think I've had any major issues, like major lessons to be learned, but
all I learn is big lessons.
I know it's somehow that's always coming for you. I don't know.
That's it.
I not to toot my own horn, but I feel like I manage my business pretty well.
Yeah, you do.
I'm very organized. I'm profitable. I'm getting busier, growing. I don't know. Yeah. So my things are kind of like there's no one else except me. It's just me, myself, and I. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of friends like in the aesthetic world that I can reach out to and talk to and like message and stuff, but like it's different than like having somebody at the same place who cares about it as much as you, because I'm the only person who cares about it as much as I do. Which actually could be a good thing too, because I mean obviously you experienced when somebody doesn't care about it as much as you,
mm-hmm.
what happens there. But yeah, I mean, so it's like, okay, I have to order talks. I order tox today. It comes tomorrow, right? It comes overnight. Well, if I'm working at the hospital, where is it? Where, you know, who's going to sign for it? And then, so I've had so many shipment issues with like product and certain medical supplies and stuff that have gone back to sender, like samples that my reps have sent me, like gone back to sender. Or I've had to drive out to UPS in like 15, 20 minutes away from our house, like multiple times to go pick up packages late at night. One time they wouldn't give it to me because I didn't have anything to prove, anything on paper to prove it was my business.
Mm-hmm.
I had everything you could imagine on my cell phone. Every single thing is on my phone. But since it wasn't a paper, piece of paper, those fuckers made me drive all the way back home. It was pouring rain. Do you remember this?
Yeah,
I had no gas. I drove your truck. We switched cars because it was about to close. I had Izzy, who I had just picked up from the sitter. And I had to drive. I drove out there. They wouldn't give me my package. I had to come home and get proof of business and drive back out there.
Yeah.
I was I'm not like a yell at people kind of person. If there's any kind of like confrontation with like a business or a company, I let Justin handle it. I just don't do any of that kind of stuff. He will say anything to anybody, but I will not. And I was so pissed. I was screaming. I have a toddler who hasn't eaten dinner. I was so mad. And then the second time, so then this happened again pretty shortly afterwards, where I had a package and I had to go drive out there to pick up, and it was under better circumstances. I didn't have Izzy with me. It was like, whatever. And I walk in, the guy's like, oh, it's you. Like, he remembered me. I was like, this is so embarrassing.
You're crazy.
That's the only time I've ever like gotten pissed off at someone like that. Like, you know, like, and I apologized to him like 1,000 times. I'm like, I know this is not your fault. Like, it was like the guy, and then he had to go get his supervisor, and his supervisor was a not nice lady. And I was not happy.
Yeah, it sucks because...
So those are like the logistical kind of things that I deal with. And then sometimes I guess it sucks
because it's like they are just doing their job.
Yeah. I was just, oh my God, it was
so sometimes funny. I have a lot of trouble like putting a human to the voice.
Yeah.
We all know that about me though.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my other issue is like people, you know, like when I first started, I didn't make people that I didn't know. Like, if you were booking online and I didn't know you, you could just book, and so I'd get ghosted. I think it happened once, and then after that you have to pay online now. So now people pay $50 to book online, and then I give it back to them. Like, I give it towards their service, but if they ghost me, then I don't, you know, I just keep it. But that has not happened since that time, actually, which is nice.
Yeah, I taught her a lot of things about managing people.
And then, yeah, like, I think just like a lot, like scheduling changes, which sometimes can be irritating. But like, at this point, it's like, I'm still pretty flexible and open.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had a couple people
set the precedent, though.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple people who have done it so many times that I'm just like, no, you know.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is just like you have like reoccurring people that you're like sending out reminders for, and they're like, well, I have this, this, and this, and it's like, whatever, you know. Like, I have a process.
Yeah.
So it's like I'll message, you know, actually TJ taught me this. It was like he has like a rule of something. It's like a rule of twos or something, I want to say. I don't remember what it is, but it's like for his weight loss supplement business or whatever, he has like a certain number of times within a certain distance that he'll reach out to people before he just stops.
Yeah.
So that's what I've kind of implemented for myself. Like, I'll reach out like twice. And if it's just like not going anywhere, then I just leave them alone.
Yeah.
So that can be kind of like, ugh, you know, doesn't feel good.
Yeah. I think the best things to do is to always be super upfront about like your policies and what your expectations as like the actual person providing the service or the goods is, right? So like I always tell people, you have to cancel within 30 days notice your membership stuff, and that never happens.
Yeah,
but that's kind of hard because like a lot of the services that you have or a lot of the POS systems and stuff that you use, like people can just cancel their own stuff. So it doesn't really matter anyway. And you're not actually going to sue people over that. But 24-hour notice is like my thing too. Otherwise I'm charging you no matter what. I always get money up front. You don't get that. And I don't think that you really can, to be honest, but like I always get money in the front of the month or something like that. So that I like keep people accountable type thing. 24-hour notice for cancellations. And that the same thing goes for me. Otherwise, I honor an extra session, that type of stuff. Or if somebody's like actually sick or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I would say I've only had like recently just like one or two people who have just rescheduled. And it's like, whatever. I just let it be, you know, kind of thing. But I haven't had a whole lot of like canceling on me the day before. And a lot of my clients, to be honest, are like, I do have a good amount of people I don't like personally know, like didn't know before they came to me. And now they like come to me regularly or whatever. But like if I feel like if they earn a certain level of trust, then I'm definitely more lenient.
Yeah, for sure.
And like my friends and stuff, like if something comes up, like I know, you know, like at least.
You know where they live.
Yeah. And I know that they're coming. You know what I mean?
Kids go to school. We'll just kidnap them if they can't stop
them. Yeah. So it's actually not. It's not. And most of the time people like a lot of the girls like want their talks like on time.
Yeah.
Like they don't want to get like off of schedule.
They would look busted.
And they're like in stuff. And like a lot of them are on like all these time schedules. Like they're either in a wedding or they have their own wedding. So we're like, you know, scheduling certain days, like when, you know, so I would say for the most part, it's like not that bad.
Yeah.
But you do get some of that stuff. So that's the other kind of thing that's just like, ugh. And then I think the other big thing for me is I literally do everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I manage my entire social media, which I know isn't like booming or like super great, but it's something that I'm proud of because
you get a lot of people through social media.
I do. And I set up,
that's a big lesson.
Google. Actually. That's where I'm getting all my new people. Yeah. Is Google.
But here's a really big lesson with a big lesson that I have learned personally is with social media. You do not have to have a ton of engagement to get a ton of business through it.
Yeah, right.
And I think so often people look at others who are entrepreneurs or running businesses and they're like, well, their social media sucks. They don't get any likes. They don't get any views. And they assume that that person's doing poorly because their social media is not popping. I can tell you with 100% certainty and confidence that my social media has driven me so much business and finances.
Yeah.
And you would never know as a person watching. You would have zero clue.
Yeah.
One of my YouTube channels that doesn't even have 1,000 subscribers on it, doesn't get like thousands of views, has gotten me thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And no one would know.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about doing the social media thing to boost your business and you're worried about likes and all that stuff, stop worrying and just start doing it.
Yeah, that's why I kind of stopped. Like in the beginning to try and grow my social media, I would do like some stuff like giveaways and like, oh, share this post and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it didn't get me a ton of business other than like people I knew already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like friends. So, but I post everything on there and I get tons and tons of messages. Like even on my personal page too, because I'll like share everything from my business page. But I get lots of messages like that way.
You just got to give it time and keep it consistent.
But the reason I'm proud of it is because I have done all of it. And I have posted two posts on Canva, like just regular old like informational or educational or whatever kind of post it is. And then a reel every single week. So two posts and a reel a week for over a year now.
Yeah, that's good.
That's
real consistency.
14 months now, I think it's been.
And some of you mother effers are freaking, you tap out and you quit because you don't get anything within 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. A year and a half of consistent posting, not getting that much engagement, still staying consistent and not quitting. And some of you, I don't want to get called a sexist again. Some of you vaginas out there.
That's the word that got you called a sexist.
I know. Some of you can't do that because you're so worried about it and you don't. You can't imagine a world where people wouldn't like your post, so you stop doing it after 3 days. That's crazy. Like to do it the way that you do it with the little engagement that you get and as consistent as you have been with the little engagement that you get is like really admirable. Most people wouldn't do that. Well, most people would quit if they were only getting like 2 to 5 likes on a post consistently.
Yeah.
But the thing is, again, your posts, the like ratio doesn't translate to what your business is through social media. Like, you're making tons of money through social media.
Yeah.
And it might not get a bunch of engagement, but you're getting money through it. That's why you stay consistent with it.
Yeah. And I look at it more as of, like, some of the reels and stuff I post are, like, funny, like, you know, like, whatever. But a lot of the posts that I are like educational. Like, I'll get a text like, what are the benefits of PRP? Or tell me about SkinPen. And I can just, like, literally direct them to my Instagram and just be like, there's so much information on here. Like, I've posted about it 100 million times. So it's actually really helpful for me because I don't have this, like, super beautiful website that, you know, maybe I should. I mean, it's functional and it has everything it needs on there, but it's not like,
you don't need it yet.
Yeah. I just, like, don't feel like I need something fancy. Which is another thing that I've built is my website. So my website, my social media. I'm a medical provider, people. I'm not like artsy. I'm not like creative. I know medicine and, like, dosing and, like, how to inject and shit like that. I don't know how freaking Instagram algorithm works. I have no idea.
Yeah.
So, like, if I can get a social media thing together, then anybody can. But anyway, my point was, like, I think of it more as, like, an educational place that I can put, like, a lot of information for my clients that are, like, asking questions or, like, I'm trying to explain something in the office and I'm like, oh my God, I made a reel on this. Like, I can show you, like, the video or whatever. Yeah. Like, I literally just did that yesterday.
Yeah, it's good. All right. Welcome back, guys. Sorry. I just cut a whole bunch of stuff out. We had a little interruption there for a minute. So we're back. All right. I guess, has your experience of entrepreneurship more so been good, stressful, or bad?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. It's all good.
Yeah.
Definitely stressful. I don't think there's any bad for me.
I know that there was, like, you did have quite a bit of struggles in the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, the startup was rough.
I mean, kind of like the heart stuff that I'm talking about, though, too. Like,
yeah.
You had some struggles with being told no and being canceled on and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
You had some of that. And I helped you out a little bit with that stuff.
I think that's a lot better.
Yeah, a lot better now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You had struggles back.
Yeah, I did.
You had some struggles before. And I think it's just, like, it's important. I'm really lucky the way that I started entrepreneurship because I never, I don't know how to say this. Like, I've never really had, like, jobs, like, real jobs. I've been an entrepreneur since I was, like, 20 or 21 years old. I can't remember when exactly I started, but it was one of those two. And before that, I had a couple of jobs. Like, one of the jobs I think really helped me out the most with people, dealing with people, was I was a valet in the city and I had to drive fancy cars and I had to talk to people and butter them up and try to get tips and stuff. And it was a really good job in the sense that I learned how to create relationships with people very fast, like very quickly, like establish rapport with people very quickly. So that was one thing that I really had going for me when I became an entrepreneur is I understood people and how to talk to them because of that job. The other thing that I was really lucky to have had the experience with was a sales job. I had two very good sales mentors too. And they taught me, like, everything about sales and how to, like, show people around certain areas and what not to do, like everything that you could have ever imagined. And so I got really lucky with entrepreneurship because I had already had that prior experience of dealing with people. And when you're an entrepreneur, no matter what service you're doing, no matter what good you're selling, really what you're doing is you're dealing with people. That's the entire thing.
Yes.
And so I already knew how to do that pretty efficiently, pretty well. And so when I got into it, being told no, which I get maybe 5% of the time I get told no, was fine. It was fine for me. I never took it to heart. I never took it like poorly or anything like that. I was always like, okay, on to the next one.
Yeah.
Something that I got really lucky with. So I think, and again, I don't want to shy people away from entrepreneurship, but I think it's really important to be honest with yourself about, are you able to take it?
Yeah.
You have the heart to be told no 1,000 times. You might not be the person that's told no 1,000 times, but if it could be you, are you willing to be that? Are you willing to go through that? Are you willing to go through the hardships? Are you actually a problem solver? Can you go broke tomorrow and be okay with that? Remember when we first started dating and I started this gym and I told you, I'm not scared of going broke.
Yep.
I will go broke over this.
Yep.
What were the words that I said to you? I don't remember exactly what I said.
I need to try even if I go broke.
Yeah. And the other thing that I think I had going for me is that I have been broke. I've been like actually broke.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not afraid of it
mm-hmm.
because I know what it feels like. And I think that that's something that a lot of people who enter entrepreneurship are not prepared for because yeah. they've never dealt with it. If you have never had to wonder how your electricity was going to get turned on, if you've never had to wonder where you were going to get your next meal from, entrepreneurship is very scary.
Yeah.
But as somebody who has experienced that in the past, growing up when I was a kid, that has never scared me in my entrepreneurship journey.
Yeah, I would say at 2 years in, I definitely feel more confident and like ballsy.
Yeah.
Like I would totally just quit the hospital if we didn't have kids.
Yeah. And if our accountant would let you.
Yeah, if our accountant would let me.
John Letter. All right. Well, anyway, I think that's a good place to stop it.
Yes.
So don't shy away. Just be honest about who you are, what you value, what you're able to do, what you're capable of. And
stick to your talents.
Stick to your talents. What else?
Just keep going, yeah. I guess.
Get money. Just kidding. I don't swear.
I don't even know what swear that would have been.
Get money. F B words.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do that. All right, guys. Thanks so much for watching. If you did like this, please hit that subscribe button. Please like. Wait. If you did like it, please hit that like button. Subscribe if you are new. And we'll talk to y'all in the next one. Sorry if this was a little weird. We had a busy day. It's late. We're tired.
We're very tired. Good night.
Peace out. Goodbye. Good night.